If you have been covering the news, because actually this has been covered in the Register Star, and in the Columbia paper, and even in the Greene County papers, the march to consolidations continues. After all, we have shrinking populations and shrinking budgets, and all over school districts are trying to figure out what to do. And anytime that happens, of course, there's pros and cons to the issue. And we're going to try to bring a balanced view of what's going on in Chatham, New York. So today we have with us a parent and community activist, Mr. Wayne Coe, along with Steve Gilger, and plus blogger and community activist David Lavelle. And they're going to be here to give their perspective of the consolidation and the bond issue. The board actually voted with only one dissenting person, and so I think the best thing to do is to start off with Mr. Coe. Can you explain to us overall what's going on, and then get into the pros and cons as you see them?
My name is Wayne Coe.
Wayne Coe.
I'm a parent of three. I have two kids in the middle school, one in the high school. I became interested in this issue on, I'd say about March. They'd been having what they were calling public meetings, and I went in, as many of the public did, and very rapidly came to see these public meetings as not open and not listening to the public. That was confirmed over time when their initial capital project proposal did not change over the entire course of the public comment. None of the suggestions, none of the alternative plans, nothing changed except that it grew in expense by millions of dollars. A gym facility was added out of the blue. I never heard a single public comment, either in the focus groups or in the public meetings, that said, we want a gym space. So these kind of things drew my interest. What is this about? This is about closing the central building in Chatham, the venerable, centennial celebrating National School of Character winner, the middle school, the best built of the three buildings. Pejoratively, the school system is calling the building old and small, but those are not accurate. Having talked with a BOCES personnel, that building has five elevators, it's fully ADA compliant, it has air conditioning, it has heating, it is it's a beautiful building, it's the best building of the three. So when I was sitting there in the first meeting, and I was being shown this capital project, which we're being asked to vote for Tuesday next week, November 19th, and I'm going to be voting no. The polls are open between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. My question was why? Why are we walking away from a building we've spent $11.5 million on over the last 14 years, $6.5 million in 1999, I believe around $5 million in 2007, So we, the taxpayers, have been asked to invest in this building for public education. And the taxpayers have heeded the call. We've come and invested in this building, and it's fully fixed up. And now they want to close it, look down the hill, invest $13.8 million, which is the bond, to build, I'd say, 10, 15% of the facilities we already own up on the top of the hill. None of it made any sense to me. So what I want to talk about is the negative impacts of this bond measure. It could be just me, but I see the bond as inextricably connected with their consolidation vote. And one can try to separate them, but if the public passes this bond measure, they will seal the fate, I think, of this great building, the best building. They will push all the kids down into an unsafe situation. The two lower schools have only one method of egress. And while I've pounded away passionately at the Board of Education and the superintendent and said over and over, back in July 11th, I asked a simple question, have you built a second method of egress? And the superintendent tried to evade it. The kids will walk through the woods. And I said, have you built a second method of egress? And she said, well, it's, you know, like a secret confidential plan, we can't tell. And I said, have you built a second method of egress? And she said, it would cost many millions of dollars to build a second method of egress. So recently, at a arts booster and athletic booster committee, I held up the Chatham Press, the venerable Chatham Press, which everyone who's hearing my voice, who's going to be going in to vote, and I hope like me voting no, on the 19th, next Tuesday, should pick up the Chatham Press and take a look at the prices. Because the public is not served by the propaganda, I'm not going to call it PR, that's coming out of the school system. All the diagrams for a year do not show the prices. They only show a basic figure. And Rich Cram, who published the Chatham Press, beautifully simply attached the prices for each project. And the prices are astonishing.
Can you run down some of those prices? Because I stopped by the Chatham Press building and picked it up. It is quite an interesting article, and it does even give you a building plan with the amount of money and an arrow pointing to each building. So can you just throw out a couple of the numbers?
$2.7 million for a parking lot. Most people hear that and they go, that's crazy. There is no educational value in a parking lot. And I would go further. Looking at an overview of what they're doing, there's almost no change in the blueprint of the parking lot. What is this money for? $3.3 million to expand the gymnasium.
Don't we already have a gymnasium?
Up at the middle school, we have the largest gymnasium.
So why would we build another gymnasium?
Thank you, Steve.
That was Steve.
Behind this entire thing, of course, is an Albany contractor, SEI. This contractor pays it's called NYCUS, the New York Council of Superintendents, $10,000 to $15,000 a year for advocacy and access to these kind of projects. The superintendent is a member of NYCUS, and in my opinion, is a paid lobbyist. For these contractors. These jobs belong in Columbia County. I'm voting against this bond because it's anti-kid. It chops off 25% of their facilities. It's anti-taxpayer. It has $30 million of tax impact. And it's anti-job. Martin Luther King said, if you want our money, you must give us jobs. In his speech, Where Do We Go From Here?, he speaks very eloquently about how poor communities like Columbia County are kept poor. And the process is that they take your tax dollars, and whether you're old or young, if you're paying school taxes, or even if you're a renter, and your rents are being affected by school taxes, they draw this money out and they send it to their rich allies, in this case in Albany. And it's wrong. We need advocates on the board who are pro-kid, pro-taxpayer, and pro-job. And the eight that voted for this consolidation process to me have voted solidly against community. And the community needs to get out and vote next Tuesday.
Okay, so let's go back just a little bit further. We know that the populations are declining. And we know that funding from the state and federal government are declining. So if there has to be savings, not enough children for the overall square footage, something has to be done. What you're saying, are you saying that nothing should be done, or are you saying that what is being done is not the right thing?
Well, I'm not on the board, so I don't know the exact problems under which they're laboring. If they're looking for a consolidation plan that doesn't depreciate the building, a major issue is once they vacate that building, taxpayers will lose all interest in funding it. And that's what's happened. If you drive around Columbia County, what you see is abandoned school buildings. It is it's not urban blight because we're not urban. It's it's rural blight. It's incredibly depressing. Once you take the kids out of that building, it will suffer. From what I see, and you can find more information on YouTube. There's an alternative consolidation plan. And to answer your question, Phil, is there a way to consolidate without having a giant building bond? Is there a way to consolidate that would take kids out of harm's way, this one method of egress situation? Is there a way to improve facilities instead of building parking lots? Is there a way to save more money by doing so? And the answer is, I was able to come up with a plan, and I'm not an architect, and this is not the only plan, but there are wonderful alternatives once you get the community involved. And this entire process has been about excluding and silencing community. And the most indicative aspect I can say of that is that we gave to the Board of Education a 170-signature community petition that eloquently said, if you're going to take millions of dollars, if you're going to change the very fabric of our community, we need to be on those committees. We need to have a say. And over, the president of the board, she wrote in an editorial in the Columbia paper, and the superintendent said, we have no legal obligation to talk to you, us being the public, about consolidation. And they may have no legal obligation, but one would think they had a moral obligation. So next Tuesday, I'm voting no at the Mary E. Dardis, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Now, on the alternatives, just so the audience can know, that is on YouTube. I think you can just type in an alternative consolidation plan, and you can see that alternative. Aside from enumerating the exact differences item by item, what I seem to hear in all of these cases is this communications problem. This is what we heard when we spoke to the both sides in the Cairo Durham, that some of the parents felt, as I think you are expressing, correct me if I'm wrong, that they were really left out of the loop, that decisions were made, and then it was handed to them, and kind of like being told, this is the plan, take it or leave it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not a communication problem. It's a communication strategy. The entire eight-month open session was a ruse. As every parent I've talked to who attended said, they didn't listen. You would sit there and the superintendent is an astonishing mechanism. She opens her mouth and dominates. In these meetings, she would give an hour and a half presentation. And the presentation's very simple. You get all the stuff with the bond, and it costs you nothing. There's no tax impact. That was the message over and over. And that's what they're still selling. So I went and started looking at it and going, let's see, they're chopping off 25 to 30% of the facilities. So you're not getting a bunch of stuff. You're losing a ton of facilities. You're losing a gorgeous auditorium. You're trading 24 excellent rooms, many of them 50% larger than the other rooms, and you get four rooms down the hill. You're chopping four rooms out of the high school and getting nothing. You're cutting off the biggest gymnasium, and you're doing a small gymnasium expansion. You're investing, goodness gracious, is it a quarter of the money in parking lots? As my honorable friend Louis Castro said, give me 3 gallons of paint, I'll give you an extra 59 spaces. tax impact. They're all over for a year, they've been saying no tax impact. Let me read you real quickly. $30 million.
Yeah, and that is a very interesting part, because that is the comparison. I like to draw stark comparisons, because they say there isn't going to be a tax impact, but you say, in fact, there is.
Well, their language has changed since the release of my article. Now, if you go online, it says no tax increase. They move very swiftly to try to fight, you know, any reasonable response. $13.8 million in lost Columbia County jobs. These are financing jobs, almost $2 million, and $11.7 in contracting jobs. That's a tax impact. That's our taxes paying out-of-district contractors. $6.5 million in new bond debt. If you sign, and I'm voting against it next Tuesday, November 19th, if you write yes, you're going to go into debt. You're going to be paying approximately 1.5% of the school budget more every year for 15 years. 1.5% per year for 15 years is a 22.5% tax increase. And the simplest way to see this is, as a mother said, you mean, let's say you pay $2,000 a year in your school tax on your home. You're paying for three schools. Well, as soon as this consolidation takes place, you're paying the exact same amount for two schools. That's a 30% tax increase hidden. And 9.5 million school abandonment depreciation. And that's what's happened to Rojan, Aquamic, Fourth Street School, Greenport School, Martin Van Buren, Martin E. Glenn, the Claverack School. And these are only the ones I've looked at. Most selling for a dollar, some selling for nothing, the cost of the land. The only one where they paid any money was when they bought Aquamic. Who purchased it? The county, thank you. And it's the laughing stock of the county. Everyone I talked to goes, they couldn't believe they paid that much. So there is no future for you.
All right. Let me ask you, that is a question. What are the plans for the closed building?
That changed every 5 minutes also, didn't it?
Well, there is no plan. In June, I had a private meeting, and I've been asking, what's the repurposing plan? And the superintendent in that meeting, the president was there, as well as three other members of Chatham Educational Alliance, which is what we're calling our loosely knit group of parents, Steve and myself and others. I asked you know, do you have a repurposing plan? She said, no, I don't have a repurposing plan. And they were pretty honest up till the superintendent's recommendation editorial came out in the Columbia paper. And then she simply took her vague generalities and said, these are repurposing plans. A repurposing plan is pretty simple. You would get contracts, real paper contracts, for the use of the building. But the problem, and I outline this in an alternative consolidation plan on YouTube, is that the commercial value of that much space might be $125,000 a year rent. There is no business. That's why these buildings go vacant. Let's say you cut the price in half and you rented it for $65. Still no takers. What it will do is it will nuke Main Street Chatham if they try to turn it into a commercial space.
Over in the village of Chatham, over in the village of Kinderhook, the Martin, what school?
Van Buren.
Martin Van Buren School was closed under their consolidation plan. And that building was probably worth $10, $20 million to the taxpayer. It was sold to a wealthy art collector for $400,000. So the taxpayer had $20 million in their pocket in a nice finished building, and then it was sold for $400,000. Now, if this was your savings account, how would you feel about that?
So it's important to look at all the expenses associated with this choice to consolidate, and the bond we're looking at represents a good portion of that. It's $13.8 million for almost nothing, and to rebuild facilities we already own that we've already paid for. And I think your question about declining enrollment, you know, is a reasonable one. If one could say, oh, they have classrooms with 15 kids or something, but that is not the case. I brought up this a couple times. I know a number of high schoolers, and they talk to me. They say, where are they going to put these kids in the high school? When the bell rings, the hallways are packed. You can hardly get your class on time. I mentioned to both board members and to Ms. Nusifaro that two young high school girls told me at a party that their art class is 29 kids in a windowless room with insufficient supplies. They said it's horrible. It's horrible. Both the board member and Ms. Nucifaro said, oh, we don't know about that, and that's not the case. It's not like there are massive amounts of empty rooms. That's just not the case.
Well, let me play devil's advocate. If I'm one of the board members who voted for this, I'm saying that there's not enough money to keep these schools open and to service the children. And if that's the case, then I have to do something. So this is what I've decided to do. So overall, is it that this is not necessary at all? Or it is necessary to come up with some kind of savings, but it should be done differently?
Well, then we come down to me pitching an alternative plan, to how they do it. The first thing I'd say is, if you talk to the community, and there are three buildings, they would pick one of the buildings down the hill. If you closed, for instance, the MED, it would not obviously affect housing prices. You don't really see it. If you were to pick the MED, it being one easy floor is much more suitable for reuse by elderly people, by kids, by municipalities. If you close the MED, there's a way to do it, as I propose. If you were to build a hallway between the MED and the high school and call them one building, they're already consolidated. They're an 85-second walk from each other. That would cost... You would lose no facilities. You would have no depreciation. You could essentially keep all your facilities and address the issue of downsizing and administration if that was your goal. I'm convinced that the goal of this is to export our wealth to the very richest. It is not their stated goal. Why aren't they using local people? And as I say, with an alternative plan, and this is just one idea. I'm sure there are many ideas, but there are plenty of ways to do it. Unless this bond is voted for by people who do not see any options, and that's what the administration is pushing. You have no options. You vote for it, or we're going to do it anyway. I don't believe that.
Well, for those of you who are not familiar with the Village of Chatham, and you're hearing the passion coming out of Mr. Coe. Just so you can understand, most villages, the school is not in the village. It's a building set aside. In what I refer to as beautiful downtown Chatham. In Chatham Village, the school that they are talking about is in the village. If you don't know the village, you might not understand. I just wanted to explain that because it's...
Thanks.
Every town has a main street and a main street corridor, and the building that they're talking about closing is in that town's main street corridor. And Steve, you had something else to add? Oh, he's about to explode.
You know, I'd like to ask Dave. Dave wrote an op-ed piece talking about the fitness room, which I believe is supposed to service 12 to 17 children. At a price of $1,088,000. I wondered if Dave could give us a second about that.
Okay, I'm David LeVeau. Wayne had mentioned the Chatham Educational Alliance. Let me just say, I am not part of that alliance.
David, are you from the University?
See, I couldn't even hear myself.
Yeah, here. Okay. Let's, David.
We're going to switch mics here.
How's that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm David LeVeau again. I'm not part of Wayne's Chatham Educational Alliance. I do agree with some of his points. I disagree with some of his points. I support him in some things. My focus has been on the costs, and Wayne mentioned the gym, which is $3.3 million. And what bothered me when it came out and has continued to bother me is I have no details about what that gym consists of, other than it's a gym for 700 people. I have no idea what a gym should cost. A point I made at the University of Michigan, their new athletic center is going to cost $9 million, which is on a per student basis, one tiny fraction of what we're spending, which is not quite $4,000 per Chatham student to build that gym. But I don't know, maybe $3.3 million is what it should cost. I really don't know. But I have no way of telling whether we've got luxury skyboxes in that gym, whether we've got electronic scoreboards like you find in the Barclays Center or Citi Field or stadium seating. I mean, I'm obviously being facetious here. But there's no way to judge whether this is the gold-plated gym or it's a bare-bones gym. And so on that basis, I've really been against it. Now, that kind of thing permeates through all the cost estimates. You know, I would like to be able to make a judgment as to, you know, where we are on the scale of spending money. You know, are we at the low end? That would be great. I would support it. If it costs $5 million to build a gym and we can do it for $3 million, that's great. I would support it. On the other hand, if it cost $1 million to build a gym and we're spending $3 million, I'd be dead against it. I just don't have the information to be able to tell. So on that basis, primarily, I've...
David, don't we have a gym up at the middle school?
Yeah, we have a gym.
So why would we build another gym?
Well, it's been touted as gym renovations and additions. It's not a full-court gym. It doesn't have all the seating. And obviously, those are desirable things for sports program. And, you know, we love our sports and everything. It's just, I come back to my point. Maybe we have to make do with what we have. You know, we can't be all things to all people at all times.
$1.8 million for a fitness room. Couldn't we, like, open a Planet Fitness franchise up in Chatham and have everybody have free membership for that?
Yeah, at the cost of the gym and the fitness room, we could probably buy lifetime memberships. You know,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
For, you know, every past, present, and future graduate of Chatham. I mean, you know, it's great to have those facilities.
Now,
my only question is, you know, how much do we need to spend to get them?
At the meetings, the business manager Chuddy said that on their charts, which they killed us with. 85% of the budget for the school district is salaries, pensions, and health. Now, that leaves a very little amount for the building. So, really, the buildings aren't the cost problem here. If you look at that, the buildings are not the cost problem here. It's the high salaries, the union salaries. And I'm not sure what you're going to do with that, but it isn't the building that's a problem.
Well, Steve is raising an entirely different issue. I mean, it's just a fact of life in New York State that, you know, salaries, benefits, and, you know, related stuff are, you know, 75-80% of all school budgets. You know, and that's a topic for discussion another day. It really doesn't, you know, address what we're dealing with here today.
Okay, so we basically have see the idea here, the amount of money being spent, and whether or not there was an alternative way of doing it, and the I'll use the word lack of communications.
Exclusion. There's no lack of communications. We were utterly excluded, legally excluded.
I'll use the words lack of communications to the community. And if you've just joined us, you're listening to the WGXC Morning Show. Philip is on your radio, and we are discussing the, once again, another consolidation plan, this time in Chatham. Wayne Coe, parent and community activist, is here with us. Steve Gilger is here. And my friend David Laveau, who is a blogger and community activist, here on the con side of the bond issue coming up on Tuesday. Tomorrow we will have Melanie Spock, who is the president of the board, and Cheryl Nusiforo, who is the superintendent, and they will be given the pro side. So this is WGXC 90.7 FM, streaming live on WGXC.org, and we'll be back to wrap up with final comments in a moment.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Okay, right on time. CSX, I guess they did not like the idea of me queuing down Chuck Berry, so they came through with the train, because we usually play music when the train comes through. You're listening to the WGXE Morning Show, and consolidation has come to Chatham, as it has, as it came to Caradhunam, and as the Terra Movie radio the radio announcer goes, and it will be coming to you. Eventually, consolidations are going to be coming all over the place, and these are the kind of arguments that will be coming up. And so even if you don't live in Chatham, it is important that you see now the kind of things that went in Caradhunam, and now you're seeing what's going on in Chatham. And in the future, you will be seeing what's going on here, there, and everywhere as they're doing it. And we have these three fine gentlemen, David Laveau, blogger and community activist, Wayne Coe, parent and community activist, and Steve Gilger, also a community activist, and they are here discussing the cons of the bill. And so, gentlemen, if you would each give us a final word, where would we like to start? Steve, Wayne, David? Steve?
I'm trying. I have a son at the middle school. I'm just a parent. We're volunteers here putting in time to try and stop this thing. The school and its counterpart, Bosie's, is like, I told Wayne, it's like we're a rowboat fighting a seasoned battleship out there. They have pushed this thing. I went to the meetings right from the beginning, and I've told everyone all the way along that the public is being smokescreened by an organization greater than us by a long shot. The superintendent's a fabulous facilitator of her agenda, and she's created a group of board members that are following along wonderfully. But they've smokescreened the public. You go to these meetings, and for an hour and 45 minutes, you're pounded with a PowerPoint presentation with all these graphs, and then they leave about 15 minutes at the end for the public to speak. And then there's all these hands there, and they go, oh, no, we're done now. And they close down the meeting. And this happened over and over and over. Well, they can say that they've talked to the town, that they've gone out into the town. Well, they control these meetings, and the town doesn't get to speak. The public doesn't get to speak. They have this agenda that was put together before the vote was ever taken to close the building. And we know that because they moved which grade?
Fifth grade.
They moved the fifth grade over to the
test animals.
They moved them ahead of time over to the other school as if they were moving forward with this project before anybody had ever even known about it or wanted to do it. They, at the beginning meetings, they said we have 5 years of reserve money that we don't have to make a decision on this. And basically, we had these four focus groups, parents, teachers, students, and community people.
They came back very negative.
Yeah, the community people said, no, we don't want to do this yet. We're not ready. We don't like this whole idea. And they shut them down, and it was amazing. I was at the meeting. The superintendent listened to these people, and they all said, no, we really don't want to move forward with this yet. It doesn't sound right to us. And they shut them down. And then they write up these minutes. Do you know they have a full-time PR person that works for the school? This guy named Adam Charbonneau writes up these fabulous newsletters every month. And this one I have in my hand has a star on the front that says no tax impact on the front. Like, it's a big sale. Everybody should run for it and buy this now.
Okay, and we want to get everybody's statement in
Thank
here.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi. I've said this many, many times. The things that are in the proposal in terms of music and art and theater and physical fitness, those are all great things to have. And I think we'd all agree that we'd like to see them in Chatham. My only point is I'd like to see them at a reasonable cost. I'd like to be able to judge for myself the costs that are going to the various components of the project. There's more information on my website, www.chathamny.blogspot.com. Chathamny.blogspot.com. Thanks.
Okay, and then we will give you the last word, Wayne. Yeah, you're coming in.
Thank you. Am I coming through?
Yeah.
You can go and see many of the letters and editorials that have been written by the community at wayneco.com. I've removed my art website and put up a Chatham Educational Alliance site that has comments by many community members. My last observation would be that I'm voting no next Tuesday because this is anti-kid. It cuts 25% to 30% of their facilities off. It's anti-taxpayer. There's $30 million of tax impact. And it's anti-jobs. These jobs belong here in Columbia County where we need them. And the beneficiaries are pretty easy to recognize. The Board of Education believes they're a beneficiary to the tune of $790,000 a year. The BOCES gets paid $1.5 million a year for advocacy. SEI pays the NICUS $10,000 a year so that our superintendent becomes a lobbyist and an advocate for contractors. It's very important to know, if you look at their timeline, that the study, instead of having any community members, went to BOCES and was peppered over with superintendents, and that their bid process magically turned up design and bid to SEI, the contractor that pays NICUS. And then they had, as I say, this faux community time, which Steve spoke eloquently about. So this is a really dreadful bond. It's an attack on public education and the community. And I hope you'll vote with me. Thanks. Against it.
Okay. Thank you very much. We have been listening to three of the community activists from out of Chatham who are, as you can see, very much opposed to the bond issue. And in the interest of bringing both sides, Melanie Spock, who is the president of the Board of Education, and Cheryl Nucifero, who is superintendent, they will be here tomorrow to argue the pro side. Is there anything that you'd like to add? And so so you'll have both sides, and tell your friends and neighbors. We'll have it at the WGXC.org on the website, this entire interview and tomorrow's interview, so you can hear both sides. Most importantly, folks, is especially those of you in Chatham, this is your community, and whether you have children in school or not, these kind of decisions affect you. So on Tuesday, vote. Voting is open from 9 to 9, as I understand, and it will be at
Mary E. Dardis Elementary.
At Mary E. Dardis Elementary School in Chatham. This is the WGXC Morning Show. Philip is on your radio. Thank you very, very much, gentlemen, for a spirited conversation on the new bond issue. WGXC 90.7 FM.